But Lord, let me see your glory first. Let me see your glory on the earth, in your people, and in your church first. And everything inside of me goes toward that. I want to walk with God and come into what he has called me to. And there's nothing else on the whole earth that pulls my heart to such an extent as that. And these wise men were like that. And they saw the star. They started immediately. Because, you know, when the star comes, you have to follow. You can't say, there's the star. Let's put together a 3-year plan for provisions and plotting a course and getting the right co-workers together for this great study. They were not into a scientific study. They were wanting to find he who was the King of Kings so that they might come and worship him. They were nurturing their faith. And if at all possible, they were not going to miss it. And so they set their course, probably following the same course that Abraham had traveled on 2,000 years earlier, going up the Euphrates River, because you see, that's where the water is. And in desert lands, if you just choose to travel across the deserts of Saudi Arabia, you better have a truck with you filled with water. So they would go up along the Euphrates River and along the north through Iraq, down through modern-day Syria, past Damascus, alongside of Mount Hermon, where the snows were and the rivers came up from out of the ground and formed the Jordan River. And they would follow that Jordan River down the waterway, all the way down along the Jordan River till it passed the Sea of Galilee, the only freshwater lake in the whole of Israel and the lowest in the world. And they would follow the Jordan River until they came to the Dead Sea and make a sharp right-hand turn and climb another 20 miles, 3,000 feet higher to the city of Jerusalem. The Bible says that the wise men came to Jerusalem because they were looking for him who was king of the Jews. So they went to talk with the king. King Herod was a very wicked person. There are 7 Herods that are mentioned in that season of time. But this Herod, who reigned for about 43 years, and only a few years after Jesus was born, was called Herod the Great. Not because he was a good man. In fact, he was such a wicked man that he killed his wife, murdered 3 of his own sons, killed his mother-in-law, killed his brother-in-law, killed his uncle. You would not want to be related to Herod the Great. You wouldn't call him Herod the Great, as history does. And of course, we find out that after the wise men leave, that he kills every child in Bethlehem and in the surrounding area, 2 years of age and under. He was a wicked man, but called Herod the Great because he built so many large monuments and buildings and harbors and temples and aqueducts all over the land of Israel. So to the Romans, he was great, Herod the Great. That's who the wise men came to. Talk about going into the camp of the devil, into the lion's den to get your information. God was watching over them. It's amazing how God can lead you and you can walk in the valley of the shadow of death. You might not even know it. Because the angels of the Lord are watch over his own. I would be afraid not to be a Christian. Because, especially the way the world is going, some people think that only darkness is in the world. That's because that's all they see. They think that everything eventually becomes dark and evil. They really need the light of the world. Because outside of the light of the world, it's true. But Jesus is the light of the world. And in Him is life. The light of men. There is no other hope on the whole planet. At the end of the day, you need Jesus Christ. Amen. So, they went to King Herod and they said, "We've come to visit you because we have some questions to ask you. Where is he who is born King of the Jews? We've seen his star while we were in the east, and we've traveled all this way." Probably took about 2 months for them to get there. Walking and riding on a camel. They had the bruises to show it. "Where is he who was born King of the Jews? We've seen his star while we were in the east, and we've come to worship him." Now this here troubled King Herod and all of Jerusalem. No doubt that wasn't all that was said. King Herod would have asked lots and lots and lots of questions, because he killed anyone who would be a threat to him. You have to realize that in Israel, there were seasons of times when even there were boy kings. Josiah was only 8 years of age when he became the king of Israel and was perhaps the holiest and the greatest of all of the kings. He ruled for 30 years, but he was only 8. So if Herod knows about the kings of Israel, knows that the promised Messiah king is coming, how many years will it take before he overtakes my throne and I get killed? That's the way he's thinking. And they come to him and they have this meeting with him. Now, this was a time when dignitaries would have come before the king. They would have probably brought some gift to King Herod. But don't give him any of the myrrh. None of the frankincense or gold. Give him that rug that my grandmother made. They're going to give him something and it's going to be fancy. They're going to come, and then King Herod's going to be their host. He wants the information from them. There will be a palatial banquet in their honor with dancers and all kinds of entertainment. And King Herod would be asking, "Tell me more about this King of the Jews." Can you picture it? And they, not knowing they need to be guarded, would download everything. "Well, Isaiah says, and Jeremiah says, and Daniel and all the rest of them talk of this great one. And we had the prophecy from so-and-so prophet who talked about his star. We've seen his star." At the end of getting all the information he could from the wise men, he had a secret meeting with the Sadducees, with those rulers who were the priests of Israel. And he said, "Is this true? Is there a prophetic word about a Messiah, a Christ that is coming?" And they said, "Yes. The scripture says about Bethlehem, 'Do not despise yourself, Bethlehem, even though you are a little town,'" I'm paraphrasing, "'for out of you will come a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel.'" And so that was the word that all of those wise, all of those priests understood. Isn't it interesting that you had all of these religious people, but only these wise men knew about the star? The whole of Israel missed it. They didn't understand that there was a sign in the heaven. I wonder what you're missing today. In the church, raised in a Christian home, missing it like whoop. And here's some strangers from a faraway place who weren't raised in the church, who don't have what you have, and they know about the star? Let me tell you, God's at work in bigger and greater ways than you know. And so it is. Herod went back to these people. He was not very shrewd, although he thought he was, because he didn't cover all of the angles. And he said to these wise men, Bethlehem is your place. Go to Bethlehem and make careful search for the child. And when you have found him, come and tell me that I may also go and worship him. And the wise men, not knowing any the better, said, for sure. Thanked Herod for his hospitality and made the 10-mile journey south to Bethlehem from Jerusalem. Now, whatever pictures you have on postcards and Christmas cards about Bethlehem aren't real. There was no snow on the ground, no Christmas lights, no dome-covered churches with crosses on the top. In fact, it was hardly a village at all. If you go to a place like Africa, or these places where there are small villages, there is a very small hub, and then all around the region, a mile this way and half a mile that way, you find one or two houses together. Usually in those places, the houses are, the kitchen is one house, the bedroom is another house, and then the bedroom for all the children are other houses round about. And then they farm outside of that. It was probably something quite like that, way out in the middle of nowhere, it would seem, where Joseph, who was a great worker, because God chose him to be the father of Jesus, he needed a good example. He is a carpenter who also worked with bricks as well as with wood. And there he set up his home. And no doubt the people would ask these wise men as they went to Bethlehem. They would start talking with the people and say, tell me, have you heard about a baby that was born here with a special kind of things happening around his birth? And somebody would say, because, you know, mamas know these things. Well, just a year and a half ago or so, there was a little baby that was born. And shepherds came in from the fields. It was quite an amazing thing. Where can I find him? Well, he lives out on the outskirt of town. Just follow that donkey path and you'll get there. And can you see this whole entourage now? Camels, wealth, servants, all of them coming to the front door. And there, the Bible says Joseph's not present. It says they came and found the baby and Mary his mother. When the shepherds came, the Bible says, and they came and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. But here, Joseph's name's not mentioned. He comes later. He's out working in the field or doing something somewhere else to get money on the table for the family. And this whole entourage comes, and there's Mary and Jesus, who's a one-year-old. And she opens the door and sees them all. My goodness, what's going on? And they come and they say, excuse me, ma'am, I see you have a little boy there. Was his birth kind of extraordinary? Did anything kind of special happen? She said, oh yeah. Angels, miracles. People came from afar, and before it all, an angel came. They said, "Can we come in and talk with you?" She said, well, sure. Now, they came in, and this was a little different than Herod's hospitality. There was an old wooden table and a little wooden bench, and just a fireplace over in the corner where you could cook some falafel on. And they came in. No doubt the servants were outside. And they said, "First of all, we want to stay with you for a little while. We've got a lot to learn. You mind if we pitch our tent next door?" And so the servants were busy pitching a tent that was no doubt bigger than the house. And setting up the royalty of a nomadic tent in the middle of the desert. And then the wise men clapped their hands and all kinds of food was brought in. Grapes and pomegranates. And everything was set up. Mary had never seen so much food in her house. And then some of the servants who came started to cook and prepare a fancy meal. And when they were eating, Joseph maybe would have come. And they sat down. And these magi said, please tell us what happened. Give us every detail. Everything is important to us because they were nurturing their faith. This was their whole life. They didn't do a flyby kind of visit. Shake the hand at the door, give a gospel tract, and leave. They spent some time. They had come all this way. It was a 2-month journey. No doubt it would take 2 months for them to return. And for sure, they wanted to know every little thing they could find out about He who is the Christ, the Messiah, the King of Kings. And when all the news had been brought to them, they looked at the boy Jesus. He must have shone. If you had eyes to see it, he was not a normal boy. There's something very special about him. And they came before him. And they bowed down on the ground before this little boy. And they gave him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, incense and medical healing ointments. Very, very costly. And they got all the information. How their hearts might have swelled. I can just see the wise men going out of the door after a couple of hours of talking with Mary and Joseph and getting all the information and going out and looking up at the stars and saying, "Oh God, somehow you included me. You let me from Ur of the Chaldees over there in Persia, over in Iraq, you let me be a part of this. This is the best moment of my life. I've seen him who is King of Kings." You know what was interesting? When they came to Bethlehem, it says that the star appeared again. And they saw the star and rejoiced because God showed up. It's like that when you're following God. Sometimes he allows the clouds to get in the way and you can't see anything and you're not sure where the next step's going to be. But you seek the Lord and you nurture your faith and suddenly the clouds part and God shows you. He says, "There's the house. Don't you know that there's something very special about you? You're made in the image and likeness of God. It doesn't matter where you're coming from, but whether or not your journey is a true one. And whether or not when you find the Lord Jesus, you hang on with all your might and you nurture your faith and say, 'Lord, I want more.'" That's what happened with these wise men. The day came when they had finished all the visit, all the details, written them down in their scrolls. I wonder if one of those wise men would have been a grandpa type and brought little Jesus on his knee. Said, God, this is amazing. You know, Yeshua, you're the most wonderful boy in the whole world. Only he wasn't exaggerating. As many grandparents might. That's okay. So, the time came. Said, in the morning we're leaving and heading back to our people. We're going with rejoicing in our hearts. What we will share with them will light the fires of Persia. We'll stir in the hearts of every seeker. We will tell this story everywhere we go. For we've seen the King in a humble home. But we have no doubt it's Him. That night, when they slept, all the things were ready for their journey back home in the morning. The angel of the Lord appeared to them and said, do not go back the way you have came, the way you came. For Herod wants to kill the child. But go this way. And instead of perhaps going along the Jordan River, they went the Via Mara, the way of the sea. Would have gone, instead of to the right, looking north, they would have gone to the left, to the Mediterranean, and gone up the coastal plain and into Megiddo and crossed over the Jezreel Valley and down through the horns of Hattin to Tiberias and the Sea of Galilee and then made their way around the Fertile Crescent and back home. A different way. What's happening in your life at this time? And are you nurturing your faith? There are some studies and some searching for God that has to be yours alone. It has to be for you. When you step out, God's given us some nice warm weather. If you were up north, you might not want to step out. But here you can step out in the middle of the night. Have you ever just go into your living room and turn off all the lights? Just sit there and talk with God. Say, Lord, here I am. Unless you show me, I will be lost. Unless you give me direction, I have no hope. Lord, help me to nurture my faith, to find what you've called me to. Now, I want to pray for you because this is a special time of the year when I believe that more people are looking to the Lord for answers than most times of the year. Whenever that happens, demons get nervous and are not so emboldened, but they are very real. And angels gather, and the word of the Lord becomes rich and free. Would you stand to your feet and let me pray with you? Hold your hands out in front of you. Let's pray a prayer of dedication unto the Lord Jesus. Let's rededicate our lives to Him. He is the light of the world. There is no life outside of Him. Would you pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for saving me. Today I give everything to you. Forgive me of my sins. And fill me with the love of God. Open my eyes and give me such faith that I might follow you all of my days and find the truth. Lord, you know my past, but you also know my future. And I ask you now to fill me with the Holy Spirit and to take me on the journey that I was made for. I receive your love. I receive Jesus as my Savior. I receive your Holy Spirit. Let your blessings be on me and my family. And let me see your wonders. Speak to me during this season. I receive your word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.